Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be made in the image of the divine? If we say to be human is to be made in the image of God, that statement is true, but still, what does it mean? Over the years, I have been collecting definitions of what it means to be human. At first, I thought it would be a fairly simple task, but the more I explore the concept, the thicker my notebook becomes. To be made in the image of God, to be human, is a complex definition because we are made in the image of the supremely complex. Perhaps we live into the definition of being human, and the older we get, as we strive to become more like God, we learn that we are becoming more and more human. Today we explore humanity through the lens of a movie called Life is Beautiful. This is a movie, but it is also a beautiful work of art. The way the movie is made is itself a definition of what it means to be human. It is a movie that laughs in the face of darkness and teaches us all how to craft a way of life in which we too can laugh even when life is at the darkest moments. Now I invite you to light a candle. And as the light of Christ enters your room, I invite you to prepare your heart for worship as we explore the meaning of life. The first scene of the movie that we will be discussing is called The New Waiter. It begins at the 11 minute and 20 second mark. Before the scene begins, Guido's uncle hires him to be a waiter and then gives Guido a beautiful apartment to live in. He says, "You will need this apartment. I give you this apartment because it is not easy to be a waiter." As the scene we watch ends, we get a detailed understanding of what the uncle means. An excellent waiter is one who serves without being a servant. A mature and wise waiter is one who serves as God serves. One who loves those who he serves. Who can, like the sunflower, bow, but not too far. To be human is to serve without losing our humanity. Perhaps it is to love while maintaining our boundaries, to give ourselves away while holding on to our identities. To serve without being a servant is the definition of what it means to be human from the perspective of the uncle, because that is what God does. As we are made in the image of God, we are made to live as God lives. But how do we do that? How do we maintain our dignity while serving people who treat us like garbage? How do we bow down and wash the feet of our oppressors while still holding our head high? The answer, through the lens of this film, comes in the form of one of the defining attributes of what it means to be human. We can laugh. We can learn to laugh even in the most difficult circumstances. We can find joy in life. We can find meaning in life by learning how to laugh and help other people laugh. While the laughter and humor is part of what it means to be human, it is also an art form and it requires practice. There is no doubt life is very difficult. None of us make it to the end of our lives without scars. None of us make it through life without being wounded time after time. But often it is these scars that develop our character. Actually, it might be better to say the way we bear our scars reveals our character. The way we learn to hold challenges loosely with a dose of humor, recognizing the pain, yet also recognizing potential for growth through the pain, is how we learn character. It is often how we learn to serve without being a servant. Anyone who is required to serve a narcissistic, inconsiderate boss will understand exactly what I am talking about. Anyone who is able to serve others with love and humor while in the midst of darkness is a person who is learning what it means to serve without being a servant. I received an email this week from a friend who is just beginning treatment for cancer. Here is part of the email. He writes, "Today marked day 2 of chemotherapy, a 4-hour session. I'm doing well, experiencing the common side effect of nausea and fatigue, waiting to see if the other side effects manifest, which can take time. I have a PICC line running from a vein in my arm to near my heart, which allows them to deliver medicine and draw blood quickly through external access. There is nausea medicine, saline rinses, IV bags, Benadryl, steroids, more IV bags, more saline rinses, and dressings, etc. There are anywhere from 4 to 8 of us receiving treatments in the infusion room. Some daily, some weekly, some biweekly, etc. But today, I do not want to focus about the process or hardship. I want to write about the people and humanity. Today, I arrived early. They hooked me up. The doctor had a quick chat with me about symptoms and we got going. I was quite pleased since I got my treatment moved up a week earlier than planned. The sooner I get started, the sooner I finish. Then Jim walked in. Jim works a blue-collar job and is a bit rough around the edges. Jim sat down, eager to get started so he could get back to work. But they did not start Jim right away. His insurance had not approved his treatments. He sat there on the phone and tried to get it sorted out. Then a moment later, the nurse walked in. She said she spoke to the doctor and they were going to get started. They were going to get started because it was the right thing to do, and they would work with Jim to get it sorted out later. Jim took a moment to appreciate the team. He said he was not college educated, although he went to plenty of college parties. Jim was able to hold on to his humor, even in the midst of a very challenging moment. He said he understood what they were doing for him, knowing that he could not pay if insurance did not kick in. Halfway through his treatment, Jim received confirmation from insurance that they would cover most of his treatment. Everyone in the room was touched. It was a moment where people, not process, mattered. A moment where humanity, not hardship, prevailed. Today was a good day. With privilege, in any form, comes responsibility and humility. I continue to be grateful for each of you for supporting me, family, friends, colleagues, access to resources, and a company that is taking good care of me, and the faith and belief that this will ultimately be positive. Here's some perspective. Working in disaster response as a career has given me a lot of perspective the last few years. First, I'm incredibly grateful to have family, friends, access to medical care and resources to focus on the issue. Many people are not so fortunate. If you want to find a way to take action, consider supporting an organization that helps people without access. Secondly, one quote around disaster sticks out to me over the past few years. Disaster does not build character, it reveals it. In our scripture today, Jesus offers these words, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh, not flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus appears to his disciples, and perhaps he is chuckling. He's actually kind of laughing at their shock and appearance. "What are you afraid of?" he laughs. "It's me. It's me. Look, it's me. I have the scars to prove it." Jesus shows us what it means to serve without being a servant, to serve knowing that there will be pain and death in the process. He serves knowing that he will receive scars. But for all who see those scars, it is the very scars that reveal his character. Our second clip is titled, "No Jews or Dogs Allowed." It begins at the 49-minute mark. Ken Weatherford offers the response.
It's April 2018, 50 years after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. And we are still searching for his dream. Who's in? Who's out? We could talk about this for hours. No, we could talk about it for weeks. We could talk about it for years, I think. So instead, because I want to honor your time, let me just say a story. It was 11 years ago. I found myself working for an inner city congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. Nearly half of our people there were homeless. We had various community organizations and groups operating out of our building throughout the week. They offered all different kinds of services from youth camps and dancing and theater to job training and a food pantry, all sorts of stuff. It was truly amazing. I had two colleagues there. We were a small group, a female pastor and a male layperson who, kind of like myself, helped with technology and worship planning. I'm not really sure how long I'd been working there, but at one point I was leaving to go on vacation. And I saw Jerry. He was in the parking lot. So I went over to say goodbye and gave him a hug and went on my way. You know, it's what you do to friends, right? We'll see you around. Little hug. No big deal. I later found out that right after that exchange, Jerry walked back into the building and began weeping into our pastor's arms. You see, up until then, other than his own father, Jerry had never been hugged by a straight man in his entire life. Who's in? Who's out? The love I have found in Christ is extended for all. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, not one single thing that can separate you or I from the love of God in Christ. So tell me. Please tell me. Is it the Jews? Is it the dogs? Who's in? Who are you keeping out?
Our final clip is called "Rules of the Game." It begins at the 1 hour, 6 minute, and 33 second mark. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to live out our full humanity? There are so many definitions, so many characteristics that separate humans from other animals. The first, I think, is choice. We can choose to live as an animal, or we can choose to pursue our divine nature. We can laugh, we can admire beauty, we can create beauty. A human fully alive is an artistic being, crafting art in the way they live. Guido is such a person. He offers laughter and hope to anyone who will accept his gift. He is an artist who is crafting a beautiful life A gift he freely gives away. He is an example of love in action. He is an example, perhaps, of what it means to be fully human. Guido risks his life to bring hope, humor, and meaning to the lives of those he loves. And love is one of the characteristics that separates people from animals. Now I know animals can and do love. Our pets love and defend their owners. Animal mothers certainly love their babies, and some animals love their mates for life. But I can't think of any mammals that love outsiders. I can't think of any mammals that welcome the stranger and care for those who don't deserve to be cared for. Humans have the ability to separate ourselves from the rest of the animal kingdom by the way we behave. Perhaps, just perhaps, what makes us human is not our DNA. For example, 98.8% of our DNA is shared with chimpanzees. But what separates us from those animals is how we choose to live. Perhaps what makes us human is the choice to accept our identities as beloved children of God and then craft our lives into living and loving works of art. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.